Ramban Parshas Vayigash. So the Parsha begins with Yehuda telling his story to Yosef about how he came to come down, and the first time he came down, and the second time he came down, and how he brought Binyamin. The Ramban asks, like, what is the purpose of this? Why was he saying this whole long story? Everybody, like, it was known to Yosef, this story. What was the purpose of it? So Rashi says, from Chazal, that this whole story with bringing Binyamin down, you told us that you would be Mesim Yarin at him and take care of Binyamin. It doesn't look like you're taking care of him. You want to throw him in jail. So the Ramban says, I don't understand that either. Like, the way this story is looking, Binyamin's a thief. So Yosef was very nice to him originally, but now that he stole his cup, what do you expect? What kind of response is that? He's a ganav. He stole from me. Well, expect me to treat him differently? I treated him nice when he was here, and then when I find out he's a ganav, what do you expect? That's the Ramban's kashas. So the Ramban says, al derech hapshat, you would say, that this whole story is just to make Yosef feel bad and have rachmanas on them. And that you, even though he knows, remember, I told you, we stayed all this time leaving Shimon in jail because I told you we couldn't bring Binyamin here because it would kill my dad. And, you know, and then because of the famine, we had no choice. We were all going to die. So, and I knew what would happen to my father if Binyamin didn't come back. Try to make him feel bad. That's all, like the Pashup Shot words. But the Ramban does say, you could still fit in what Chazal say, that it was hidden. Meaning to say, Yehuda was, with what he was saying, hinting to him that this is a scam. You and I both know this is a scam. This is just, you're framing him. And that's what he meant by v'chizuhi simas ayin lav, in the sense that you and I both know that this is a scam. Like, why did you ask? Like, he brings from Chazal that this was said. Yehuda said to him, why were you asking all these questions about our family? Like, I know you were trying to set us up. You know, he didn't say it explicitly. It was hinted to in things he was saying. But why'd you ask all these questions about our family, and that we have to bring back, that will lead to us bringing back our kids. For some reason, you wanted him here and arrested him. I don't know why, but all the questions you asked us were very suspicious, and I know that this whole thing is a setup. Actually, in this story, the way the Ramban explains the story when he was saying it over to Yosef, when he says, "V'azavas aviv ames," like Rashi, which I think everyone reads wrong. I mean, most people, "V'azavas aviv ames," who's going to die? If Binyamin leaves his father, Vames, who will die? The whole story sounds like, you know, we think, and the father can't take it. Rashi says, Im Yazov is Aviv Dagin Ano Shema Yomas Bederech, the son is going to die. And that's what the Ramban says as well, that Binyamin will die because he's too young and he can't handle the being away from his father or for the dangers of the road. It's that the son will die. But the Ibn Ezra does say, like I think most people read it when they read it quickly, that it means the father will die, that Yaakov can't handle, you know, would be able to handle being separated from him. Okay, then there's a very interesting line here. It's obviously noticed, but in Pasuk Chav Zayin, when they're telling over the story, they say, Yaakov said to us, Vayomer Avdecha Avi, your servant, our father, said to us, Yaakov Vino said to us, brothers, Atem Yadatem Kishnaim Yaldali Ishti. You know, my wife had two kids, and I already lost one because he's Tarov Taraf and I haven't seen him, and now you're going to take this one, and something happened to him, and then Horad Temasi Basibi Agron Shaola. Just interesting, he's saying, my wife had two kids. This is Yehuda saying over the story. Right? That means Yaakov referred to Rachel as his wife. And the Ramban says it doesn't mean one of his wives. That's how Yaakov considered Rachel his wife. Everybody else was, I don't know what you want to call it, not the Iker. The main wife was Rachel, and Yehuda knew it because that's how his father said it over. And this is part of the explanation, because if the father has 12 kids, why is he going to die because one of his kids is gone? Even if two of his kids is gone. He's got 12 kids. So Yehuda was saying this over, that the reason the father's going to die is because he considers his main kids, it's unbelievable, right? If he considers his main kids, Yosef and Binyamin. And Yosef's already gone. If Binyamin dies, can't handle it. It's like all his kids died, even though these were all his kids, and this is coming from Yehuda. But he understood that these were his Iker kids, and maybe this was, again, the Ramban does not say this, but maybe this was part of Yosef seeing the tshuva process, that they could they can handle the fact that their father considered Yosef Binyamin his main kids, and still they were trying to protect Binyamin. Okay, and then just an interesting thing as part of Derech HaPshat, when he Yehuda offers himself to stay as the Eved instead of Binyamin, he says, okay, let me be the Eved instead. And then he has this line, so he gives the explanation that it's because my dad will be upset and I don't want to see it. What was the point of that? So the Ramban just says, because otherwise it looks like, well, why would someone do that? It must be that they're, since he's stronger or whatever, he's going to be better at escaping. Like he's saying, take me because he's a commando. And Yehuda will be able to escape, and Binyamin not so much. So he wanted to explain to him why he's doing this, because it would be so terrible to see his father in that state. Okay, so then Yosef decides he's going to tell the brothers that he's Yosef. It says, Le'achol Yosef le'sapek, and he kicks everybody out. Vikra hotziu kalish me'alai. And no one was there when he revealed himself to Yosef. Why did he kick everybody out? Rashi says because he didn't want the Mitzrim to see when his brothers would be embarrassed. And Yosef couldn't handle that the brothers would see, that the Mitzrim would see when his brothers would be embarrassed. So the Ramban says that he couldn't handle it. In other words, everybody was making him crazy because Yehuda apparently made a very impassioned speech why he should let him go. And all the Mitzrim there were trying to pressure Yosef. Yeah, let him go. He couldn't handle Yachola safely. Couldn't handle all these people making him crazy. So, because they were all trying to say, yeah, let him go. Say he, by Yikra means he, Shehirim Kolo Bakas. That's what the Ramban says. He screamed at them, get out, everyone out. However, the Ramban also says, this is in what was added later in the Ramban, but the Ramban also says that there was another reason he didn't want anybody around. Not just so that his brother shouldn't be embarrassed, that's not the reason he gives, but rather because this would not be good for anybody if anybody heard what happened. In other words, if Yosef was concerned that if the Mitzrim heard what horrible thing... Remember, Yosef's just some slave who got promoted, and nobody really knows anything about him. Okay, not great, but fine. Now they're going to know some really, you know, story that belongs in a tabloid magazine. You know, like, oh, actually, these guys are his brothers. They sold him down the river. So everybody would look at his brothers as disgusting people. Like, people, don't let them live here in Goshen. They should be, like, in jail or out of here or whatever. We don't want these people here. And it would also cause them to look down at Yosef. Like, what kind of sick family are you people from? That's what Ramban says. That it would look bad for them, for all of them. Nobody would trust Yosef anymore. They would think Yosef, the brothers are who knows what they'll do around here if we let them live here, and that Yosef also comes from a messed up family, and it would negatively affect all of them. So he kicked them all out because no one should ever know that they sold him down there. They'll just say, my brothers came, and that's it. That's all anybody ever knew. Now, I want to go out of order for a second and skip for a second to the end of the parsha, because this is connected, I think, in a way, by Chamishi. It says the brothers, Vayidabri love kol divrei Yosef, when they were telling Yaakov everything Yosef says, the Ramban says there that Yaakov was never told ever that Yosef was sold by the brothers. So I'm just putting these two things together. Number one, the Mitzrim never found out that Yosef was sold by the brothers, and the Ramban says Yaakov was never told that Yosef was sold by the brothers. And he proves this, the Ramban does, from the fact that when Yaakov dies, they come with this story, which we all know, right, that the brothers made up, that our father Yaakov commanded that you should be nice to us. And we know Rashi there says this is made, there was Mashana, whatever, they made it up, that they didn't want Yosef to, once Yaakov died, that Yosef would then attack them. So they made up a story that Yaakov said that he should be nice to them. So Ramban says, why didn't they just actually, if Yaakov knew what happened, then why didn't they just ask Yaakov, can you just tell Yosef to not kill us before you die? Why did they have to make up a story? Why did they actually do it before he died? The reason is, and we, Yaakov knew when he was going to die, right? He called Yosef's sons in. So it must be that Yaakov was never told. He never knew his whole life what happened. The Mitzvah never knew. Yaakov never knew. And he was never told because they were all afraid that he would curse them. You know, like what happened to Reuben and Shimon, he would curse all of them. So nobody ever knew. That's the bottom line according to the Ramban. Okay, now some more interesting Pashup Shot things is the story where Yosef says, I'm Yosef, come down to Mitzrayim and you live in Goshen. Why Goshen? Because Yosef knew that Yaakov would not want to live in the capital city because then Paro would, you know, it's like living in D.C. So then someone's going to try to get you involved in the government. They didn't want to do that. So he put them in Goshen, which was far away. And he said, but you have to come down to Mitzrayim, pen divrei shata ovesecha, lest you become poor and you don't have enough food. So the obvious question all of us would be thinking, you know, maybe Yaakov likes it in Israel, and why don't you just send him some food there? Why is he going to come live in Mitzrayim and this whole thing of us becoming slaves in Egypt? I get that Yosef can't leave, but why doesn't he just send tons of food, keep sending shipments to Israel? Maybe he wants to come down for a visit, you know, I don't know. Why does he have to come down and live in Mitzrayim? So Ramban says, because he couldn't be sending constant food supplies to Israel, because people would suspect that Yosef's got all side business going on, because he's sending, you know, everybody has to come except there are shipments being sent to Israel. So he was afraid people would be choshed, or the king would be choshed, that he's got all side business and he's pocketing the money, because no money would have came in, right? He would be sending it to his dad, I imagine. But anyway, regardless, that's what he was afraid of. So he said, I can't do that. You have to come here. Okay. And also that which Yosef says to them, go tell your fathers, you've seen me. Hine nechem ra'os ve'ine achi bin yamin ki pi ha-medaber aleichem. What is ki pi ha-medaber aleichem? You'll know Rashi says it means, you see, I'm speaking Hebrew, so I must be really Yosef. And the Rabban says that to mean anything at all. Israel was very close. Probably lots of people spoke Hebrew. Ki pi ha-medaber aleichem just means to say, it's like an official pronouncement. I'm Yosef. I am the king. I have said so. So I have said. It's that kind of thing. Like, you can bring him down. He will be food, and I'm the king. And I say so, and I'm second to the king, and therefore it's going to happen. That's what that meant. Okay, then they tell Paro, guess what? My brothers came, and whatever. So Paro tells Yosef, okay, great. Get your father and his household. They should come live in Mitzrayim here. And then he says, Vatatsu Vesa Zosasu, you are commanded, so you should do. Take some wagons and stuff and send them to your father. So Ramban just says the reason he said it that way is because he thought maybe Yosef would be hesitant to send stuff from the government coffers to his dad to help bring him down, like a, you know, sending him an Uber, basically, to send him all this stuff, to give him food and to bring him back to Egypt from the government money. Maybe Yosef would be hesitant to do that because he's so honest, and Paro, you know, he has that loyada ito minuma. Yeah, everybody trusted Yosef implicitly because he knew he would never take anything that he shouldn't. So Paro wanted to say, I'm commanding you, go send him, you know, cows to bring him here and whatever is necessary to bring him, wagons, whatever is necessary to bring him to Egypt. Okay, so then the brothers come back to Eretz Yisrael and they find Yaakov and they tell him that Yosef is alive, v'chihu moshel b'chal Eretz Mitzrayim, and Yaakov's response was, Yafeg libo ki lohem ilhem. He was yafeg libo. What does that mean? Rashi says it was nachlach libo v'halach milam, and he couldn't believe it. The Ramban says actually that he passed out. That's why yafeg libo. His heart stopped, passed out, could not handle the news. And the Ramban says that can happen to an old person when they hear something very shocking. Yafeg libo means his heart stopped. He passed out, and apparently he was passed out for a while, and people kept telling him. That's the next pasuk is Vayedabri Lov is called Divrei Yosef Sher Dibra Leim Bayar. They kept telling him while he was unconscious, no, Yosef's alive, Yosef's alive, till it, like, because he could hear, it was going in, and eventually he got used to the news and was able to get back up. Okay, then there, if you're interested, there's a, you can look it up, it's in Perek Mem Vav, and it's Pasuk Dalet. The Ramban goes into a long, detailed discussion of his machlokas. I'm just going to give you the short version. But it's a long detail, machlokas. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim has a big question on this pasuk with regards to Unkelus. The Torah says Anochi Ered Mitzrayim v'Anochi Alcha Gamalo. I will go down to you to Mitzrayim. I'll take you back up. Unkele says, Ana Echos Imach leMitzrayim v'Ana Seknach Afasaka. I will go down. I will come with you. I will come up. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says he doesn't understand this Unkelus, because Unkelus is always very careful to avoid anything that could be misinterpreted as anthropomorphisms, meaning giving Hashem any connection to physicality and also like time and space. So for Hashem to go somewhere, how does a being who is everywhere go somewhere? I will go to Mitzrayim, I'll come up with you. And yet, so the Unkelus always changes words that can be interpreted that way as saying something, you know, more general or more spiritual. And here he says, "Ana ichos imach," just translates it straight, I'll go down with you. How could that be? And he has many examples of where where Unkelus seems to have changed the words to avoid anthropomorphisms. For example, let's say by the Migdal Babel, Tower of Babel, it says, "Erdona vera," I will go down and see. So the Unkelus there says, "Iskalika an veichs chazi," I will not go down. Erdona, not, he doesn't translate it as I go down. It says, "Iskale," I will be revealed there now. Veichazi, and I will see. So he translates Erda to Iskale. So how come here it doesn't retranslate it? Every time when in Parakeet Aleph Pasuk Hey, it says Ve'irad Hashem, Unkelus says Iskale Hashem. So he's always retranslating go down, and here he doesn't. Why is that? Sorry, I quoted the Pasuk from the Erda Novera as by a different story. The one by Migdal Bavel is Hava Nerda. There, Unkelus says Hava Niskali. But anyway, but there's one Erda Novera also in Perek Yudches Pasuk Chavalf. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Every time, the point is, every time it always says Erda, Unkelus always retranslated it. Why not here? So the Ramban just says, because the Rambam has, he doesn't like going, he doesn't like hearing, he always retranslates hearing. So the Ramban doesn't agree with the Rambam and says, so if you don't like hearing and going, then how come he's okay with speaking? Because Unkelus, whenever it says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor, Unkelus just translates it. God spoke. Why are you okay with that? Doesn't that also sound like Ashmius? And furthermore, if he has to retranslate Shmia, so why doesn't he retranslate Re'iyah? Because every time it says Hashem saw, it says V'chazah Hashem. So that's just a straight translation of seeing. Isn't that also physical to see? Hashem can see everyone. What does it mean Hashem went and saw? And he gives many oral examples of Torah where it says Yad, and Unkelus just translates it as Yad. Like Yadcha Chazaka, Unkelus just says Yadach Takifa. Yimincha Hashem... plenty of times he's talking about, says, things that could be interpreted as anthropomorphisms. Also, apparently the Ramban translates Shechina as something Hashem created, not Hashem himself, but rather something created to show his presence. And the Ramban says that cannot possibly be either, because we say Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo is translated by Yonos Ben Uziel as Baruch Yikarad Hashem Miasar Beishchinte. So he says if this is a created thing, you can't bless a created thing. So anyway, he just says the Ramban's position is that all of this stuff has to do with Kabbalah. Where Unkelus decides to translate it one way versus the other way has to do with Kabbalah and has nothing to do with anthropomorphisms. So if you look at, he says, if you look at the Maimon Har Sinai, you'll see every time it says Elokim in there, Unkelus translates it as Yikara, or Meimra Dashem. Whenever it says Yudke Vavke, he doesn't do it that way. This is all Kabbalistic stuff, and not what the Rambam says. As to the Rambam's answer, by the way, why it says, I will go down with you to Mitzrayim here, it's because here it's a dream, it's different. But anyway, the Ramban here, it's a very long Ramban, just going through a lot of examples where the Ramban feels that the Rambam is proven wrong from, that Unkelus is not doing it because of anthropomorphisms, because it doesn't fit in a lot of places, rather it's all based on Kabbalah. Okay, then the Ramban points out a different topic, that during this dream, he tells him, Yaakov, Yaakov. Now it is Hashem who said, you're going to be called Yisrael. And then Hashem comes to him in this dream, and says, Yaakov, Yaakov. So Ramban says that's because Yisrael is his term when he's exactly what he said, when you're on the top and you're going to beat everybody. But this is Bemaros HaLaila, you're going down to Mitzrayim, you're going to be Yaakov here. You're going to not be Sarisa Lomakim Manashim Matuchal, you're going to be Natuchal. You're going to be Da'akev, you're going to be Yaakov Yaakov. That's why he's referred to as Yaakov Yaakov. Also, he points out an interesting thing, that in listing the people who come down to Mitzrayim, it says, B'nei Yehuda, Erev Onan V'Shelev Aferetz V'Zerach. And then says, and Aaron Onan died, by the way. Okay, so they weren't in the 70s. So then why mention them? Why don't you just say, the sons of Yehuda were Shela, Peretz, Zerach, and, you know, continue on like normal. It mentions them and then says, by the way, they died. What's the purpose of that? The Ramban says, it's because I told you already what happened with Tamar was a case of Yibum. And the concept of Yibum is that the neshama goes back, it comes back as a Gilgal into the boy that's born, the child that's born from the Yibum situation. So therefore, it mentioned it because even though Aaron Onan didn't come down to Mitzrayim, but they kind of a little bit did. Because Aaron Onan came back as Peretz as Zarach, and so they did come down to Mitzrayim in a sense. But of course, it says they die, so not their physical bodies. But that's why it's mentioned, because in a sense, they did come down to Mitzrayim. Okay, then we have the other pretty famous Ramban in this parsha about Yocheved's birth. The Torah says that there were 33, and if you count, there's only 32, and this is Yocheved, who was Nolda Ben Achomos. So the Ibn Ezra famously says, impossible, can't be that she was born when they came into Mitzrayim, because that means she was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe, and that would make it like it's a bigger nace than Sarah. Sarah was only 90. Yocheved was 130. So why didn't the Torah tell us this big nace, like it told us the nace about Sarah? Why wouldn't the Torah tell us this big nace about Yocheved, that she gave birth at 130? So it can't be. It's just like he says, Derech Agada or Divri Yachel, but it can't be. So the Ramban has his line, V'nei pen yiye chacham be'inav b'stiris divri rabboseinu, lest he think he's too, you know, he wants to, the Ramban wants to put this down, because lest you think, oh, the rabbis must just be completely wrong and not know what they're talking about. So ani tzarech lanos yilav, therefore I have to respond to this. And you know, the Ramban did this for a living, kind of. You know, the Ramban did a lot of defending. He wrote the Melchamas to defend the Rif from the Baal Hamor. And he wrote the Shrushim on the Rambam to defend the Bahag from the Rambam. He does a lot of defending of people and of Chazal. And this great rabbi. So this is Chazal. He wants Ibn Ezra's tiny on what Chazal says. He has to say that he has to defend him. So the Ramban says, okay, Ibn Ezra, fine. She was not born. Let's say you're right. She was not born when they came in down to Mitzrayim. She was born much later. Okay, but she was Levi's daughter, that it says. It says, Asher Yolda Osola Levi B'Mitzrayim. So if it's Levi's daughter, so you want to make it that Yocheved gave birth much later, but you're making Levi, having had kids, also crazy late. Because let's say you said 130 can't be Shigeo, Yocheved gave birth at 130. Okay, so when did she give birth? He says, so I'll knock off for you 57 years, right? So we'll take her down to 73. So that makes Levi, when he came down to Mitzrayim, was 43. So add that to Levi. So now, so Levi's 100 years old, but he gives birth to Yocheved. That's okay. Avraham was 100. So Levi was 100. So you have to say something unusual happened here. Because if you make it that Yocheved didn't give birth when she was 130 and she was much younger, so then Levi was much older. Eventually, you're going to get, regardless of what you say, someone's going to have given birth when they were really, really old, that is of the ages of around Sarah or Avram. So you have to say something amazing happened. So you're asking me, why didn't the Torah write it? It's wrote all about Sarah and Avram, what a big nace it was. So why didn't it write about Levi and Yocheved? One of them was very old. So Ramban says, he said, I'm going to tell you, you showed here. If you showed is, if a Navi tells you something's going to happen to you, and then it happens, the Torah's going to mention that. If a Malach says something's going to happen to you, and then it happens, the Torah's going to mention that. Stam Nes Nister, that happens to a Tzaddik, the Torah's not going to mention that. And the Ramban says, and why should it mention it? All of the Torah's Nisim Nistarim. If you do keep the Torah, you will have good. If you sin, you will have bad. That's also Nisim. I have to say every time someone good happens, someone's because of a mitzvah, the Torah is going to record it. The whole Torah is all Nisim Nistarim. The Torah doesn't record Nisim Nistarim, you know, that kind of thing. The whole Torah is kulo nisim nistara. It doesn't need to be written. If the Amalach comes and says, on Tuesday you will have it, okay, that the Torah will write. But a regular stam nes nister, to help out a tzaddik, it happens a million times. The whole Torah is based on nisim nistara. It doesn't need to write it. And the Ramban says, I want to prove it to you. I'll give you a proof that the Torah doesn't write this kind of stuff. When was David born? So David was born 370 years after they got into Eretz Yisrael, right? Because the first Bais Rishon was built 480 years after they got into Eretz Yisrael, and that was in the fourth year of his reign, and he took over after David died, so knock 74 years off of 480. Sorry, I said that. It's 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sorry. Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash was built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there's 40 years in the desert. So we're down to 440. And then knock off 70 years of David's life, plus 4 years after he died till the Bayis was built. That's 366. So approximately 370 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, David was born. Okay, now, the Torah tells us the lineage of David, tells us the lineage of David. It's not that many people. It's Salmon, Boaz, Ovad, and Yishai that went into Eretz Yisrael. Right, Nachshon was Salmon's father. Nachshon died in the desert. So the next person in line was Salmon, then Boaz, then Ovad, then Yishai, and then David. So you got 366 years divided amongst those four people. So one of them for sure gave birth to a child when they were really, really, really old. And yet there's no mention in Nach of this big deal. Oh my goodness, one of them gave birth at really old. It's proof. So I said, I just proved it to you that when just because someone gives birth when they're really old, and even though it's basically a nes nister, Torah doesn't mention it. Chazal actually say in Medrash Tanchuma that Oved lived for more than 400 years. Okay, these were Nisim Nistarim. And furthermore, says the Ramban, remember that besides Yitzchak, then he afterwards, way after, he remarries Keturah and has another bunch of kids. Right? So Torah doesn't mention that as being the biggest nace, just says like very nonchalantly that he had kids. Anyway, he says the big nace by Avram and Sarah was that they couldn't have kids all those years. It's not like they had a bunch of kids, wow, and they still had kids when they were older. It's that they had no kids. That's the big chiddush. And Sarah didn't even have the ability to have kids. And yet, they had kids when they were old, as opposed to all these other people. Yocheved had, you know, several kids. Not all at the same time. Or maybe, I guess, I don't know if they're that far apart. But the ikker thing is that Hashem didn't want Klal Yisrael to be redeemed before a certain time. So she had to have kids later. But he's saying these are Nisim Nistarim, that's not such a big deal. Avram and Sarah were a bigger deal because they had never had, first of all, the Navi said they were going to have kids, and also they had never had kids before. That's what makes it also a bigger nace. Okay, then we have the other thing. Rashi mentions that according to some, all of the Shvatim were born with a twin. So they're not in the list of people coming down to Mitzrayim. Rashi says, must be they died. Rabban says, there's no need to say that because the Chazal tell us, and Rabbi Yehuda says, L'chirseim nisu ha-shvatim, that they married, all the brothers married the half-sisters, like each Shevet was born, Reuven, they all were born with a twin sister, and they all married each other as half-sisters. You know, they're all related through the father, but not through the mother, so would marry Rachel's son, say, would marry Leah's daughter. And the wives were not counted, the wives are said, it says, Milvad Neshe Bnei Yaakov, so you don't have to say they all died, it could be they all married the Shvatim. Okay, then we have the story of the reunion of Yaakov and Yosef, and it says, Vayera Elav, Vayipala Tavarav, Vayifkal Tavarav Od. So Rashi says that means, Loshen Harbos Bechia, but Yaakov did not fall on Yosef because he was busy saying Shema. So Vayifkal Tavarav Od is all Yosef crying. Ban says that actually Yaakov is the one who did the crying. Yaakov fell on Yosef's shoulders, and it says he fell on his shoulders and cried, Ode, meaning because he'd been crying all these years about Yosef. But now that he saw him, he cried more. And the Ramban just says, you know, who do you think cries more? a father who hasn't seen his kid in all these years, or a son who's a bazillionaire, you know, who's the king? Who's more likely to cry on whose shoulder? I'm sure many of us saw that video of the hostage who was reunited with his father who did this and said the Shema Yisrael and was crying. You saw the kid was smiling and the father was crying his head off. And he says, I think the Ramban says that's what you would expect. The father is the one who's the emotional here. So anyway, that's what the Ramban says. Okay, so they come down. Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, and they appear before Paro, and they say that we are shepherds. We came here because there's no grass left in Israel because of the terrible Kichaved or Beres Canaan. So Ramban just asked a very pasha question. And it was better in Egypt? Like, you brought your cows down there because in Israel you found no grass for your cows. So you brought them to Egypt where there wasn't a famine. There was the Iker place of the Gzeirah was Mitzrayim where there was a famine. Why in the world would you think there'd be more grass in Mitzrayim than there was in Israel? There's a famine everywhere. And the Iker famine was in Mitzrayim. So how does that make sense? I brought them here. Ramban said something fascinating. He said, possibly there was food given out in Mitzrayim because Mitzrayim had food and Israel didn't. So possibly in Israel, people were so hungry they were eating grass. He has a second shot. I think it sounds a little shrier because at kadei kach that everybody was eating grass and there was nothing left for the cows. So a little shrier. His other possibility is that just because even though there was no rain, but since they had the Nile River going through it, so a little bit there was a little bit more grass for the cows in Mitzrayim than there was in Israel. Then we have another interesting exchange between him and Paro, Yaakov and Paro, and Paro says, "How old are you?" And Yaakov says, "I'm old and I had a miserable life, or I had a rough life." The Ramban just is like, whoa, what was that? The king's not your buddy. Like, why are you talking to him about the, you know, you're just meeting the king. It's a scary thing. It's a, you know, whatever. It's the king. And you're just complaining about your life. Like, what was that? He asked you how old you are. You should have just said, I'm 130. Why do you have to say that I had a very difficult life? So the Ramban says, because Paro was asking him how old he was because he had never seen anybody looking so old. He had a look of whatever his age shown more than Paro had ever seen. And people didn't live that long in Mitzrayim, apparently, the Ramban says. So the people hadn't lived that long. Yaakov looked really, really old. So that's why Yaakov explained to him that I'm 130, but I look so old because I had a rough life. You know, all these gray hairs, I can tell you which kids caused them. He had a difficult life, so that's why he looks so old. In other words, like he said, his father, his father's lived older. But since I'm not so old, I have all these gray hairs because of the difficult life he had. Okay, now one last Ramban, and that is about how long the famine lasted. So we're all familiar with what Rashi brings. It was supposed to be 7 years, and it only lasted 2 years, because as soon as Yaakov came down there, the Ra'av stopped. So Ramban has a problem with that, in that what we all are, you know, our first all reaction to that is, but the dream said seven. How can it be it was only two when the dream says seven? So Ramban brings his other midrashim that say, yeah, no, it stopped temporarily when Yaakov was there, and then when Yaakov died, they came right back. Other possibilities. The Ramban himself believes it lasted, again, al derech hapshat, he feels it lasted the full 7 years. The Psukim at the end of Vayigash are all about year one and year two. That's all it says, right? It says they ran out of money after a year, and they came to Paro in the second year and said, we got no more money, we'll sell you our cattle, we'll sell you our bodies, we'll sell you everything, and Paro just, or Yosef just bought from them their land, and just talks about year one and year two. So the Ramban says, no, what it is that why would they run out of money after 1 year? Too fast. It's not Mistavra that they ran out of money, the whole country ran out of money after 1 year. They probably ran out of money after 5 years. So it was year one after they were running out of money. So there's nothing to talk about the first 5 years. And then that sixth year, something happened. They ran out of money. So it says, okay, this is the year one, meaning year one of something happening. The sixth year, they ran out of money. The seventh year, they sold themselves, but it was the full 7 years. Like, I think it is a little bit of a dochik, even in the pashup shot. But that, like I said, there's different midrashim about how long the 7 years lasted.